Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Erev Daf Tes Zayin. We have five lines from the top. Says the Gemara, Toshma, we all know about discussion regarding a mechitza, which has oimid and parts. It has a built portion and also an empty portion, empty space. So it depends how much there is. If in the final analysis of this mechitza, there is more standing, more oimid than parts, than the gaps, then certainly this mechitza is a kosher mechitza, it's valid. If there is more parts, more gaps in total than the oimid, this mechitza is batal. What if it's half and half? So it's half oimid and half parts. We have a machlokes. Rav Papa says it's okay. Rav Huna Bar Yehoshua says no. The area, since it isn't mostly enclosed, it's only half enclosed, that's not considered to be a contained area. This mechitza is pasul. Says the Gemara on the fifth line from the top, Toshma, come and hear a raya with regards to this machlokes. This is a braisa that's concerning kelaim. So if we have a mechitza, one can go ahead and plant two minim, one species on either side of that mechitza, and there's no concern of confusion of kelaim. Says the braisa, nintzis as ato imer. So it turns out that there are actually shalosh midos mechitzas, three separate categories when it comes to mechitzas. Mechitzas that have gaps. Number one, kol shu pachos mishloisha. If the gap is in a mechitza, where the boards or the slats that are being used are narrower than three tefachim, and we have gaps in between these boards, tzorech shelo yehei bein zeh lazeh shloisha. We need that the gaps in between these thin, narrow slats should be less than three tefachim, in which case it's lavud, it's considered to be closed up and non-existent, and the entire wall is considered to be fully built. So even if you have little sticks lined up next to each other, but the gap in between is less than a shear of lavud, less than three tefachim, it's considered to be kulay oimid, as if it's totally, completely built. So it needs to be less than three, because three is already, it's already considered to be a gap. It's considered to be space. Kedei sheloi yisdakir hagdi, so that the goat will not be able to jump through bevas roish easily. So that's the shear of three tefachim. That allows the traffic through, allows the goat to get through easily. So if it's less than three, we don't have that concern. It's considered to be fully closed up. That's the first halach. Number two, kol shu gimel. If we have boards which are three tefachim wide, umigimel va'adalet, or anywhere from 3 up until 4, not including 4. In this case, sorech shelo yehei bein zeh lazeh kemelo yehei. The space between these boards needs to be less wide than the actual boards themselves. Why? Because otherwise you have a problem. Kedei shelo yehei parts ga'imit. So that the parts, the space in between the boards, should not equal in size to the width of the oimid, of the standing portion. In which case, it will be problematic. Now, if the parts area, if the gaps, the spaces in between these boards, total more than the built portions themselves, in this case, the oimid is batal. Too many gaps here. Af keneged oimid asr. So even the oimid is batal, you can't even plant alongside those boards. Because the parts is larger in size, greater in area. The sum total of these spaces exceed the oimid. The oimid is batal. And even the boards themselves are considered to be batal. You can't even plant next to the board itself. So you can't put one min on one side of the board and another min on the other side. Everything is batal. The third halacha says the braisa, kol shu dalet. If we have a 4 tefach wide board, humarba ad eser amis, from 4 until 10 amis wide. In this case, sorech shelo yehei bein zeh lazeh kemelo yehei. You must ensure that the space between these boards does not equal the size of the boards themselves. Shelo yehei parts ga'imit, so that the parts, the space, should not equal in size to the size of the oimit. V'mahaya parts ga'imit. In this case, even if it's exactly the same amount, you have the parts, and which equals the size of the oimit. So it's 50-50. Keneged oimid mutar. Keneged parts aser. So in this case, although the Oymer is bottle, and we don't view it as a mechitza because there's too many gaps here, but since we're speaking about a large size board, speaking about a board which is at least 4 tefachim wide, that has significance to it, to itself, meaning even if it's just freely standing, if there's too many gaps here and the mechitza in its entirety is bottle. Nevertheless, this board, this freestanding board, so to speak, has its own significance. And therefore the Braisa says, Kineged the Oymer Mutter. You could plow, you could plant Kineged the Oymer, right next to, alongside this board, because it has its own significance. It's covering an area 4 tefachim. Kineged HaPar is Aser. But alongside the gaps, you cannot plant, because the place is not considered to be enclosed. It's Mechitza, it's bottle. Concludes the Braisa, V'imhoye Oymer Ruba LaParetz. What if the oymed portion, the standing built portion, is greater in size than the parts? Af keneged parts mutar. So in the final count, we have more built portions than empty spaces. In this case, it's just the opposite. The oymed portion is mevatels, nullifies the spaces. And we consider this whole area to be fully enclosed. And you can go plant right even next to the parts, even next to the gaps. Nifrat sabi yoyse me'eser. What if we have a pirtza, a breach, which is more than 10 amas wide? That's no longer regarded as a Pesach. That's a pirtza, says the Braisa, Aser. The entire mechitza is Aser because the mechitza is meant to contain, to prevent traffic from entering. If you have a huge hole which is greater than 10 amas, which is no longer considered a Pesach, then this mechitza is dysfunctional. It's not preventing traffic from entering. The entire enclosure becomes nullified, and you cannot plant within this enclosure in a matter which will present a problem of kalim. Hoyisham akonim hadukronim. If you have these smooth sticks that are inserted in the ground, voiselam pei melamala, and he braids a branch alongside the poles on top of the pole. He stretches a branch from one pole to the other, creating a tsuras ha-pesach, a physical configuration of a doorway. In this case, says the Braisa, afilu b'yosim eser mutar. Even if it's wide in 10 amis, that's okay because it's tsuras ha-pesach. When it comes to separating between two minim of kalayim, can even be wider than 10 amis. So in summary, we had three halachas in the Braisa. Number one, a gap which is less than 3 tefachim is lava, is considered to be fully closed. If it's 3 tefachim or larger, that's considered to be a space, a pirtza. Then we have to go ahead and measure, calculate what's more. Is it more oymed or more parts in the sum total of this mechitza? And the Braisa continues and says, if we have an oymed, which is chashev, is significant, it's 4 tefachim wide. In this case, even if the mechitza in its totality is batel, but this specific board has its own inherent significance, and one can go and plant alongside the board itself. Continues the Merah, Ketani Mias Resha. In any rate, the Braisa begins and says, the Gemara is going to analyze this Braisa in view of our machlekes between Rav Papa and Rav Huna b'Rav Yeshua, whether a case where you have 50-50, half oymed and half parts, is that considered a mechitza? So let's take a look at the Braisa again. Katan imias reisha. At any rate, the Braisa begins by saying, megimo v'adalet. If you have a board which is anywhere from 3 tefachim to 4 tefachim, so this was the middle case of the Braisa. The Braisa tells you, that's okay, even when there are gaps in between those slats, provided that the space in between these boards are not equal in size to the boards themselves. Apparently, when the pirtza is equal in size to the oymed, that's a problem. Tifta Rav Papa. This is a kasha of Papa who says that it's fine. Omelech Rav Papa. When the Braisa says that the space in between these boards should not equal the size of miluy of the board themselves, it means nichnas ve'yotze. There's enough space to put that board in and out, meaning enough wiggle room. There's a little space to breathe to put the board in and out, which actually means that the space is larger than the board itself. In which case, the gap in between the two boards is actually larger in size than the board next to it. So it's not equal. It's not part ki'oymed. It's parts meruba loymed, and that's why it's a problem. Hachinami mestavra. This seems to be the correct approach. Midiktani, because the Braisa itself continues and says, If the parutz was greater, larger in number, larger in size than the oimid, in this case it's batel. Av keneged the oimid aser, in time achitzah is batel, you can't even plant next to the oimid. That's only because the parutz is greater, it exceeds the oimid. Ha ke oimid mutar. Apparently, if it's equal in size to the oimid, it's mutar. Shema mina. This is a raya like my sheet. If so, it's a kashya on the other sheet. Lema tehava tiyufte. Should we say this is a refutation of the Rav Huna Beit Avishu, who tells us that when the parutz and oimid are both equal, it's not a machitza. This price indicates otherwise, that it's okay. Amalach, he'll respond to you as follows. According to your approach, you'll have something else difficult with this brisa. Ema sefer. Let's take a look at the sefer of the brisa, which says, Ema hoya oimid, merubah laparutz. If the oimid portion was larger and greater than the parutz, Av keneged haparutz mutter. In this case, the parutz is bottled to the oimid, the entire area is fully enclosed. You can even plant next to the parutz. Apparently, it's only because the oimid exceeds the parutz. Ha ke parutz. What if both amounts are equal? The oimid and the parutz both encompass the same amount of space. Asur. So you see, 50-50 is no good. So the brisa here implies like maishit. Okay, so sum total, we have a problem. The sefer is kashya of papa. The last part of the brisa, which indicates that 50-50 is no good, is a kashya of papa, who says it is good. Whereas resha, which indicates that's only because the parutz is merubah is a problem, but 50-50 is fine, that's a kashya. Who says that it's not fine? Says the Gemara, each shita will answer the brisa according to his opinion. Sefer l'rav papa l'kasha. The last part of the brisa, which says that when it's oimid meruba, it's okay, indicating that it's 50-50, it's no good. That won't be a kasha to rav papa. Because the phrase that the brisa is employing in the sefer is merely in contrast to the phrase that he used in the Reisha, but it's not really precise, it's not really trying to tell you that halacha. He's merely grabbing that phrase in contrast to the Reisha. I did this on a Reisha. On account of the fact that the Braisa began by saying, Porutz Meruba Alo'imed is no good, because 50-50 is good. So on account of that phrase, the Braisa merely picked an opposing phrase in contrast to the phrase in the Reisha, where Porutz is Meruba and it's no good. Tana Sefer, the Sefer used a similar phrase, just in the opposite. Oimid, merubah laparutz. If the oimid is greater, then it is good. But certainly, even if it would be 50-50, it would be just fine. Says the Gemara, the same thing regarding the other sheet. Reisha, Rav Huna Beit Avishu l'kasha. The Reisha, which indicates that the problem only begins when it's more parutz than oimid. Apparently, if it's 50-50, it's fine. Which seems to be in contrast to Rav Huna Beit Avishu. Says the Gemara, not necessarily. That's not a kasha. The same idea. The more precise phrase is in the sefer. The phrase in the Reisha merely is being employed in contrast to the phrase in the sefer, but it's not really precise. Aidi, the boy lemisna, sefer. So the Gemara is saying it's loy kasha from the diak of the Reisha, because Aidi, the boy lemisna, sefer. Since the Braisa wanted to speak about in the sefer of a case of oimed meruba la parts, that if the oimid is greater than the parutz, then it's fine. Because 50-50 isn't fine. So that's the precise halacha in the sefer. On account of that, Tana Reisha, the Braisa used a similar term in the Reisha, just in contrast. Parutz meruba l'oimid. When the parutz is greater than the oimid, then it's a problem. So it's merely on account of the sefer's term, where the Braisa simply wanted to contrast it with a similar term. So the sefer spoke about oimid meruba is fine, because 50-50 isn't. So on account of that, the brisa began by saying, well, parutz meruba is a problem. But certainly, if it would be 50-50, it would also be a problem. You don't need parutz meruba. So according to him, the sefer is the precise term, and the resha was merely on account to contrast itself with the sefer. Okay, now let's go back to the brisa, which began by saying that when the gap is less than 3 tefachim, it's considered to be sosim. It's loved. It's fully built and enclosed. If it's 3 tefachim, that's beyond loved. That's considered to be a gap. Considered to be a peretz. Now, what happens when you have a 3 tefach wide slat, board, with 3 tefach gap next to it? So according to Rav Papa, that's perfectly fine, because he holds when the gap equals the bill portion, Paritz Kaimet, it's mutter. So according to him, we understand why the Braisa, in its first halacha, did not want to discuss a case of a board which is 3 tefachim wide. Because in the first halacha, the Braisa was saying, well, only a gap which is less than 3 tefachim is okay, but if it's 3 tefachim, that's a problem. But a 3 tefach wide board that has a gap of 3 tefachim, that's not a problem according to our papa. B'yishleim l'raf papa. It certainly makes sense according to our papa, mishum hachi. That's the reason why lo yorav lu v'tanu lu, why the Braisa initially did not direct its first halacha to a case where the board was 3 tefachim wide, because according to our papa, it wouldn't work. Even if the gap is 3 tefachim, it would be kosher if it's a 3 tefach board. So the Braisa in the first halacha, which tells us that a 3 tefach gap causes problems, cannot apply to a case of a 3 tefach board. So you understand why the Braisa initially did not direct that halacha to a 3 tefach board. Ella Rav Huna Beit Rav Yeshua, but according to him, that even when it's a 3 tefach board, if it has a 3 tefach gap next to it, that's a problem. It's Paritz Kaimet. So why didn't the Braisa include this scenario in its first halacha, which was telling us that only a gap which is less than 3 tefachim is considered to be loved, closed up and built. But if it's 3 tefachim, that's aver, that poses a problem. Then the Braisa proceeded to tell us, and if we have a 3 tefach board, so if it's anywhere from 3 up until 4, then if there's a gap which equals the size of that board, that's a problem. Why didn't the Braisa include the scenario of the 3 tefach board that has alongside a 3 tefach gap, that's a problem? Why didn't include it in the first halach of the Braisa, which told us that a 3 tefach gap poses a problem? Says the Gemara, Ella Rav Huna Beit Rav Yeshua, who says that a 3 tefach board which has a 3 tefach gap next to it is possible. Levinu v'sanenu. Why didn't the Braisa include this case in the first concept, in the first scenario, in the first category of the Braisa, that a 3 tefach gap poses a problem? The Braisa should have said, when you have a slat, a board which is less than 3 tefach wide, u'shloisha, even if it's 3 tefachim wide, tzorech shelo yehi bein zeh lezeh shloisha, you must make sure the space between these boards does not equal 3 tefachim. But in reality, the Braisa didn't do so. It's only in the second category where the Braisa included the slat, which is 3 tefachim wide. The Braisa in the second case said, well, when you have a 3 tefach board, from 3 up until 4, and there is avir between those boards, which equal the size of those boards, then you have a problem. Why didn't the Braisa include this case of a 3 tefach board with a 3 tefach gap in the first halach of the Braisa, which told us that a gap which is 3 tefachim poses a problem? Says the Gemara, because you have to realize that these two halachis in the Braisa reflect two different concerns. The Braisa is teaching us two different concepts. The Braisa initiates by telling us, you should know, that when there's an aver less than 3, it's considered to be fully closed off. It's not even considered to be space. It's loved, it's fully built, up until 3 tefachim. When the gap reaches 3 tefachim, that's called space. That's number one, first concept. The Braisa proceeds to tell us another concept. That's the second category of the Braisa. That when you have gaps, avir, large spaces, 3, larger than 3, that also can be okay, theoretically, provided that in the sum total of this machitza, the parts does not equal the aymet. The gaps don't equal the build space. That's another concept above and beyond the first halacha. That's a greater chiddush the Braisa is introducing us to. Therefore, the Braisa preferred to include this case of the 3 tefach board with the 3 tefach gap in the second halach of the Braisa, which was an additional chiddush above and beyond the first halach. Says the Gemara, Mishum deloy domi psul of the Reisha. The concern in the first halach of the Braisa, the first concept, is different. The psul of the Sefer, it's different. It doesn't compare to the psul in the second concept of the Braisa. Psul of the Reisha, the concept discussed, the concern discussed initially in the Braisa, is regarding the concept of lavud. If it's less than 3 tefachim, fully built, fully sasim. If it's 3 tefachim, then the goat can get through, it's considered to be a gap. That's one concept you need to know. You have a space which doesn't allow the din to get through. That's one concept, a basic concept of lavud. Whereas the second concept being introduced by the Braisa, psula the sefer, is telling us a chiddush. Even when you have a gap, mechitza could be kosher, provided shelo yehi paritz ka'imid, that the pirtza, the gap, should not equal in size to the ka'imid. That's an additional chiddush above and beyond the basic first concept told us by the Braisa. Therefore, the Braisa opted and preferred to include this case of the three tefach board, which features a three tefach gap next to it, in the second category of the Braisa, which teaches us that the concept there is, because the porous is equal to the oimed, you have a problem. That's an additional chiddush above and beyond the first halacha, and therefore the Braisa included this case in the second halacha. Continues the Gemara, so we spoke about the halacha of lavud. If it's less than three, it's not reckoned with. Once the gap is three tefachim, that's a sheer chashav, a prominent number, a prominent amount, and that's considered to be a space. Pachas mishloishamani. Whose shita is reflected here? That less than three is not significant, it's considered to be closed up, but three? That's already a sheer chashav. Who is the shita? Rabbani. The amri pachas mishloishamani in lavud. When something is less than three, it's not reckoned with, we consider it to be fully closed off. Shloisha? Once you get to three, that's a prominent number. Lo yamrin lavud. If that's the case, let's proceed along the Braisa. Eima Seifa. What does the Braisa say? Kol shu shleisha. We have a three tefach board. Umer shleisha vada arba. From three up until four, not including four. What do we say? That even if there are many gaps, that since, in a case where there are many gaps, there's parts that are being mevatel the oimid, then everything is batel, and you can't even plant alongside the oimid. Everything is gone. The oimid is batel to the parts. But the Braisa proceeds in the third case there. If we have a large board, which is four tefachim wide, that's considered to be a significantly sized board. It's four tefachim. In which case, even if the entire mechitza is batel, you can still plant alongside that board. Because that freestanding board, so to speak, holds its own ground. Because four tefachim, number four, that's chashav. That seems to be incompatible with the Rabbanon, who established number three as the chashav number, not number four. Says the Ma'asan, this appears to be following Rav Shimon Gamliel, who sets four as the important number. The Amar Pachas Ma'arba Lavud. Whenever we have a gap less than four, if it hasn't yet reached four, it's Lavud, it's closed off. Because only four is considered to be prominent. The Rabbanan, because if we're following Rabbanan, what do you mean Mishloishav Adarba, if the board is anyway, from 3 to 4, not including 4, it can be batel, but if it's 4, then it's chashav. What do you mean? Shloishav abo chadu. 3 and 4 are the same according to Rabban. Once you reach 3, that's a prominent number. That's a large-sized board. It's 3, because they consider 3 to be important. So 3 and 4 are the same. How could the price split between 3 that's not important and 4 that's important? So apparently this is following another shita that holds 4 to be important. I'm Rabbi. No. It's all following the Rabban. With the Reish Rabbanon, just as the Reish is Rabbanon, apparently Sefer Nami Rabbanon. The Sefer as well follows Rabbanon. That generally consider three to be an important number. But this case is different. Umay the Rabbanon agree. And we have a case where Mechitza is batel, and you have a freestanding board somewhere in the middle there. To allow planting alongside that board, three is not enough. Three is said regarding closing a gap. But it's not really a positive element. To make it into a positive, prominent feature, it needs to have four. The Kala Mishra connected to allow this board to permit planting alongside it as a freestanding independent entity. Only if it's partitioning a space of four tfachim, that's a sheer makim chashiv, and this thing is chashiv, meaning we reckon with it, we give it significance and prominence. But if it's not enclosing an area of four, loy chashiv, doesn't have adequate prominence. So by splits the two. When we speak about a whole, magic number is three. If it's less than three, it's closed. Once it's three, it's too big to be considered closed. But when we're speaking about a positive element to create something of prominence, a mechitza, you need to have three. You need to have four. And therefore, the board is four tefachim, which is partitioning a chashiv area for tefachim, then we can reckon with it on its own. But otherwise not. Rav Amar, just the opposite. The entire Braisa is of Shimon Gamliel. Mid the Sefer Rav Shimon Gamliel. Apparently, since the second part of the Braisa, which sets the number of Hashivas at 4, the freestanding board needs to be 4, is Rav Shimon Gamliel Shita, who considers 4 to be Chashiv. Reisha Nami, Rav Shimon Gamliel. Apparently, the Reisha as well, discussing holes, and sets the number at 3, is actually his Shita as well. How? V'chi Amar Rav Shimon Gamliel Amrina Lavad. When does he hold that Lavad is up until 4 Tfachim? Anything less than 4 is not reckoned with. That's only when you have a hole suspended up in the air. For instance, with the case where the Kaira up on top wasn't reaching the wall. So it's not down on the ground. If it's less than 4 Tfachim, it's considered to be 1 and connect. Avalamata. When the hole, the gap is found down below on the floor, where it needs to serve as a partition preventing traffic from going through, even he would agree that once you reach the point of 3 Tfachim, it allows the goats to get through, and therefore it's ineffective. It's like a mechitza that gdoyim, goats, jump right through. We can't apply lovud. So in theory, he holds lovud is up until 4, because 4, and only 4, is considered to be a shir chashev, just as we find regarding that board. If it's 4, it's prominent. But when it comes to lovud on the floor, down on the bottom, if it's merely 3 tfachim, that also negates the mechitza. Continues the Gemara, getting back to our discussion where we have a mechitza which is half built and half unbuilt. Rav Papa says it's okay. Rav Huna Rav Yeshua says it's not. Toshma, let me bring you a raya to one of these shittas. The Braisa says, Tfonas alolu, these walls surrounding a courtyard. Shiruvim psachim b'chaloinis. That is mostly gaps. Entranceways, psachim, chaloinis, windows full of holes. Mutter, it's okay. Uvavash, yehei, oymed, meruel parts. Provided, it's mostly built. How are these two things compatible? Shiruma salkadaitach? You think we're speaking about mostly gapped? If it's mostly psachim chalayins, how can you proceed and say, well, it's mostly oymed? It's either one or the other. Ella rather, sharibu behem psachim chalayins. The Braisa is saying, he increased, he fashioned numerous, a ribuy of entranceways and windows. Mutter, that could be mutter. Ubaval shihei oymed merubel parts. Provide that in the sum total of things, and for analysis, there is more built than unbuilt. Says the Gemara, Hake paretz asur. Apparently, if it's not more oymed, rather it is equal to paretz 50-50, it's no good. Tiyuf to Rav Papa. This will be a kash on Rav Papa, who says that it's fine. Says the Gemara, indeed, a tiyuf to, it's a refutation. Vilchus karetz Rav Papa. And the Lacha follows Rav Papa that it's fine. Says the Gemara, what do you mean? Tiyuf to vilchus? First you refute, and then you say, we follow that cheetah? And my in, yes. Mishum de daika, masnisen kavasei. Although this braisa seems to be inconsistent with our papa, but our Mishnah, on Daf Tezvav, the wording in our Mishnah indicates Rav Papa's halacha. Because the Mishnah there is speaking about the caravan which are surrounding themselves with animal accessories to make a machitza. The Mishnah tells you, the Mishnah tells us, lo yehu pirtzei siseris al binyan. If you have these gaps, make sure that the amount of the pirtza doesn't surpass and exceed the binyan. That implies, okay, binyan, if the pirtza is equal in size to the binyan, it's fine, mutter. So apparently, 50-50 is fine, just like Rav Papa's shita. So in summary, we had a braisa that taught us. Number one, if a gap is less than 3 tefachim, that's not considered to be a gap, that's awesome. The braisa discussed using sticks, which are anyway up until 3 tefachim, full of gaps and holes. So if it's less than 3 tefachim, those gaps are sasim. And it's considered to be fully standing because a gap which is less than 3 does not have a din of space. The Braisa proceeded to talk about a 3 tefach wide board from anywhere from 3 to 4 tefachim, not including 4 tefachim, and there's a pirtza in between them which equals the size of those slats, that has a din of a pirtza. So if the pirtz area is greater in number, greater in size than the oymed, the whole thing is bottle. Even alongside the oymed, you cannot plant because everything is bottle to the gaps. Whereas if you have a board which is 4 tefachim wide, which has prominence and chashivas, and there is a gap in between those boards which equal in size to those boards, that's called a pirtza. And if you have more pirtza in sum total than the oymed, the entire thing is bottle. But since those boards are large size boards, you can go ahead and plant alongside those freestanding boards. Whose opinion is reflected in this braisa? Says Abaye. It's reflecting the Rabbanon, who hold that 3 is a number which is chashuv. Therefore, a gap less than 3 is lavud. But when it comes to the freestanding board, that needs to encompass a makom chashuv, needs to be 4 tefachim wide. Rabbi says just the opposite. From the halacha of the freestanding board, which needs to be 4 tefachim, it appears we're following Shimon Gamliel, who considers 4 to be a prominent number. But when it comes to lavud down on the ground, this gap, which is right near the floor, he agrees it would only work if it's less than 3 tefachim. Continues the Mishnah, Ma'akifin Shloisha Chabalim. So getting back to this group of travelers who would like to enclose their camp to allow carrying within, says the Mishnah they can actually use ropes, just ropes, to create a machitza. Ma'akifin Shloisha Chabalim. They surround their area with merely 3 ropes. So we have these ropes which are running horizontally around this camp. The first rope within 3 tefachim to the ground, which creates an enclosure, it's lavud. So presumably these ropes are being supported by poles. So we have 3 ropes. Number 1 on the bottom, which within 3 tefachim to the ground. Zeh lamala mezeh. Then we have another rope on top of that first rope within 3 tefachim. Zeh lamala mezeh. We have a third rope yet running along the top of this mechitza, this 10 tefachim mechitza, within 3 tefachim to the rope below it. So it's a total of 3 ropes running within 3 tefachim of each other, which creates a machitza of 10 tefachim. Ubavad shelo yehei ben chevel chaver, provided that the gap between the ropes is less than 3 tefachim. There should not be shloisha tefachim. So within 3 tefachim is lava, it's considered to be enclosed, and you have a full machitza. So you have 3 gaps here, one between the ground and the first rope, which is less than 3 tefachim. We have another gap between that rope and the second rope, another gap between the second and third rope. So in total, we have a bit less than 9 tefachim here in height. So how do you get to 10 tefachim? Very simple. The ropes themselves have to total. They have to have a thickness combined between all 3 of a bit more than a tefach. So you add that to the area which is a bit less than 9. You get 10 tefachim. Shir chavolim oivyon yosir al tefach. What is the shear of the thickness of the ropes? So all 3 ropes combined need to be a bit more than a tefach. So if you'll add it to the rest of the area, you'll have 10 tefachim. Kadesh, hey, hakoil asar tefachim, so you have a total of 10 tefachim. So this is one example of a improperly constructed fence. It only has a horizontal element to it. It's called mechitza shel eira. It's a horizontal mechitza, and that works. Continues the Mishnah with another example. Mekifin bekonim. They can surround the area merely using konim, sticks, reeds, which are lined up next to each other. Insert in the ground, facing upward. So it's a vertical mechitza. It only has a vertical element to it. And they're lined up next to each other with small spaces. Bovach, lo yeh bin konim lechaveir, provided the space between one stick and the next is not shloisha tefachim. So you have less than 3 tefachim, which creates lavud. So all the sticks are considered to be one combined mechitza, one continuous oimed, and this provides mechitza. Says the Mishnah, b'shayora dibru. This was only pertaining to a shayora, a caravan, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. These mechitzas are flimsy mechitzas. It either contains only the element of erev, the ropes are only horizontal mechitzas, because not starting from the ground up. So it's considered to be a mechitza shel erev. Whereas the konim, which are planted in the ground, so they rise from the ground up, but they only contain the element of shesi. They only have that vertical element to them. It's not a properly constructed, fully supported mechitza, which generally has both elements. It has something going this way, upwards, something going sideways to support itself. This is not really, doesn't really have that residential quality to it. This can only be applied to the shayor, these fellows that are traveling en route, this caravan. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Perhaps due to their difficult situation, they allow them to establish this mechitza, or perhaps since this is your typical mechitza, which people do, which people construct when they're on the road, so for them this is considered to be a proper mechitza. No, this could pertain to any person, any traveling person, not even a group together. The reason why the Mishnah mentions shayara, not to imply that individuals traveling cannot employ these mechitzas. It's merely a typical example. Who needs this mechitza? Generally, it's the shayara. That's generally who's traveling, a group of people. But certainly, even a yachid individual can go ahead and travel using these mechitzas. Continues the Mishnah, called mechitza she'ena shel shesev shel erev. Any mechitza that does not employ both aspects, it doesn't have both dimensions of shesi and erev together, vertical and horizontal dimensions, eina mechitza, that's not considered to be a proper mechitza. Divrei Rabbi Yosef bar Yehuda. Acham Rabbi no echad mishnei dvarim, as long as it employs one of these two elements, either vertical or horizontal, that is sufficient to create a mechitza. Omer Rav Abnuna, Omer Rav. Hari Yamru, the Chacham told us, we know, that Oimed Merubah LaParetz, not so we have a mechitza that has empty spaces, but it is mostly built, it's Oimed Merubah LaParetz, Bishasi, in reference to a mechitza of Shasi, meaning it's rising from the ground up. For instance, the example we had in the earlier Mishnah of this group of people traveling and they encircle their camp with animal accessories. So those are positioned on the ground. They're coming from the ground up. They're considered to be shesi, vertical mechitzas. So even if they have spaces between, there's parts there, but as long as it's mostly built, mostly oimid, that's okay. The spaces are considered to be entranceways, psachim. Have oimid. That's considered to be oimid. Be'erev avnuna, be'erev mai. Can we apply this concept to a mechitza shel erev, a horizontal mechitza? For instance, those ropes, which aren't really beginning from the ground up, they have a horizontal dimension to them. What if they have gaps? So the case now, Mishnah actually doesn't have really gaps because they're less than three tefachim, which is love. What if we have real parts, we have spaces larger than three tefachim within that mechitza shel erev, that horizontal mechitza? Perhaps here, since it's not really starting from the ground up, so those gaps in there are not considered to be doorways, entranceways, they're just holes in the wall. Do we employ this concept there as well? Do we say, well, if in the final analysis of things, the sum total of the oimid exceeds the parts, that's okay? Or do we say, if there's a parts in there, if there's a gap greater than four, greater than three, it is mevatel to the mechitz. Be'erev mai. Om Rabbi Toshma, listen to the raya from our Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us that you string three ropes, one on top of the other, and the space in between those ropes is less than three tefachim. The ropes themselves combined need to have a thickness of a bit more than a tefach. So we work out a mechitza of 10 tefachim in total. Between the ropes and the gaps, we have 10 tefach. Shir chavolam v'oivyon, what is the actual thickness of those ropes? Yosra tefach, a bit more than a tefach. Shir akoy osar tefachim, because when you combine it with those gaps, each one being less than 3, for a total of a bit less than 9, plus this tefach and a bit of the ropes themselves, you have 10 tefach. V'isa, now if you maintain that even when there is parts, when there are gaps, when there are real spaces in this type of mechitza shel erev, that's okay, as long as the sum total of the oimid exceeds the parts. So why do we need the ropes to have that thickness combined of a tefach and more? Lomer li yasra al tefach. Why can't he construct his rope mechitza using thin ropes? As follows, li avid pachas mishloisha v'chevel mashu. Let him take a chevel mashu, a thin rope, and run it within three tefachim to the ground, so that closes that off. Then upachos mishloisha v'chevel mashu, take another chevel mashu, a thin rope, place it within three tefachim of the first rope. So now you have a total of six tefachim of your mechitza. So most of this mechitza is oimit. Now you don't need any more. Upachos ma'arba v'chevel mashu, take the next thin rope and string it three tefachim within four tefachim, which is beyond loved, of that second rope. So it's considered to be a peritza, but it shouldn't pose a problem because in the total analysis of this mechitza, it's mostly oimid. The first six has been closed off through lovin. So that should be mevatel, the peritza, which is above them. So why does the Mishnah require a thick rope in order to get that configuration and have only a little less than three tefachim between each rope to create a complete mechitza with three lovets working combined? You don't need three lovets. As long as you have the first two sections are lovet, that provides 10 tefachim, six tefachim, which is the majority of the oimid. Oimid, the berubah parts, should be considered to be fully built. Apparently, you don't employ this concept of oimid berubah parts by mechitza shel erev. So if you have this gap, which is larger than lovet, up on top of that mechitza, it's more than three tefachim, it's mevatel the mechitza. So it's a right to Rav Nuna's question. Says the Gemara, not so quick. V'tizbara, can you really think that this would work? Meaning, aside from Rav Nuna's question, this case it will involve other difficulties, the other concerns here, which will prevent it from working. Let's analyze. Hypochus ma'abo. This large gap, four tefachim, a little bit less than four tefachim. Where exactly in this mechitza is it located? Heichem mukmle. Where is he going to position it? Heichem mukmle, meaning, where is it? Is it going to be on top, in the middle, or on bottom? If he's placing that gap of four on the bottom portion of the mechitza, meaning that the first rope is placed at a distance of a bit less four than the ground below, that poses another problem, another concern. It lets the traffic through and nullifies the entire mechitza. Nothing to talk about here. It's like a mechitza where goats get through it. That certainly wouldn't work. So if he places that large gap on top of the mechitza, meaning you have less than three, then less than three, which creates six, and then on the top layer he has the four tefach gap. That wouldn't work either for another reason, because that string that's all the way on top of the ten tefachim is surrounded by both sides with spaces that are much greater, much larger than it. Because below it you have the fourth tefachim, and above it you're open to the sky above. That wouldn't work because it's going to be mevatel that rope. Osi avir dahigisa, the gap, the air on one side of that string, the haigisa, and the space on the other side will come along to combine umevatle, to nullify that rope. So that wouldn't work either. If he places his four tefach gap in the middle of his mechitza, so you have lovin on bottom and lovin on top, that also wouldn't really work. Because although in the total amount of the mechitza, which is 10 tefachim, you have mostly oimid, we have 3 tefachim lovin on bottom, 3 tefachim lovin on top, which makes it for oimid meruba l'parts, is more standing, more built than unbuilt. It's 6 versus 4. But let's keep in mind that these two built portions are not next to each other. They're on two sides of this large gap of 4 tefachim. Who says you can combine those two built portions together to nullify that large gap, which is greater in size than the oimid which is sitting next to it? Havali oimid merubala parts. True, you have, in total amount, you have oimid greater than parts, 6 against 4, but it's mishtei ruchas. You need to combine two separate built portions. How do you know that works? Shamas mina. Are you going to imply that oimid merubala parts, mishtei ruchas, that such a type of oimid merubala will work? Have oimid? Not necessarily so. Meaning, what's Rav Nuna's question? We can't figure out a scenario where his question would apply. Rav Nuna asked, let's say you have this inferior mechitza, shel erev. It's not coming from the ground up, it's hovering above the ground. Perhaps the concept of oimed beruva would not apply here due to the inferiority of this mechitza. That seems to be the only problem, because it's mechitza shel erev, perhaps it's inferior to mechitza shel sesi, where oimed beruva does work. Says Abaye, we can't even get started here. Because any which way that you configure your question, your scenario, you're running into another problem. So what was Rav Nuna's question to begin with? Says the Gemara, Ela Rav Nuna, hachi kamei boili. Apparently Rav Nuna's question applied to the following scenario, which will avoid any of these pitfalls we just mentioned. Kigoin, for instance, the icy machtzeles, to have a zayin mashu. He brought along a mat, a solid mat, which is 7 tefachim long. 7 and a bit. And he carved out a hole, a gap of 3 tefachim, which is more than love it. It's actually considered to be space, 3 tefachim, in this mat. And he left the other portion of the mat intact, 4 tefachim plus a bit. So you have a mat here, where, for instance, the top portion is intact, 4 tefachim. You have a gap of 3 tefachim, empty space. And right below that gap, it's framed in by the bottom of the machtzelos of the mat. And he suspended it. He placed it within 3 tefachim to the ground, which is lovet. So that bottom portion is considered to be fully enclosed. So in this case, you avoid all the pitfalls. Why? Because the bottom portion doesn't allow goats through. It's fully enclosed. It's lovet. The top portion, which is intact, is greater in size than the gap below it, which is only 3 tefachim. So that won't become nullified. And the intact portion here is one continuous oimid. You don't need to combine two oimids. So you addressed all your concerns. The question remains, Rav Hanan's question, when we have a mechitza shel erev, such as this one, because it's not coming from the ground up, it's hovering above the ground, it's considered to be a horizontal mechitza, which is mostly oimed. Do we say that oimed merubah laparetz works in this case or not? Rav Ashi Amar, the question of Rav Hanan pertains to the following scenario, mechitza tzluyei boilei. This question pertains to a hanging mechitza. You have a mechitza of 10 tefachim. The problem is, it's not reaching the ground below. It's suspended above the ground, 3 tefachim above the ground. Does that work? As Rav Tavla, Rabbi Tavla asked Rav, mechitza tluya? A suspended mechitza. Maosha tate bu churve. Can allow carrying. And a churve, a ruins. This is a typical example, a typical case where you have incomplete mechitzas, which are coming from above, but not reaching the ground below. Does that work? Amalei, he told him, no, ein mechitza tluya materes. This type of hovering mechitza will only be effective when it comes to water. When you try to enclose an area of water to allow drawing from within it, Chacham said, this type of mechitza can work there. It's not a traveled area. It's not a dry ground. It separates the water within from the water outside of it. Kalu shekilu Chacham v'mayim. That's a special leniency that Chacham applied to water. But on dry land, a mechitza is only effective if it stretches down and reaches the ground below. So in summary, Rav Hanan had a question whether the concept of Oymed Berubah Laparetz will apply to Mechitza Shel Erev, this horizontal hovering Mechitza. The Gemara presented two scenarios where this question could apply, either this mat or the Mechitza Tluya. On the first question, the Gemara didn't seem to really resolve it. Regarding the Mechitza Tluya, the Gemara did seem to resolve it that it will not work if it's on dry land. Continues the Gemara, Ma'akifim Bekanam Bechul. So Rav Yehuda tells us in the Mishnah that this type of incomplete mechitzas, which only contain one of two elements, either only vertical or only horizontal, that's not considered to be a proper mechitza. That doesn't really have a residential quality to it. And Rav Yehuda tells us this will only apply to shayara, a group of people, three people, a caravan traveling. The shayara in biyachad loy, it won't apply to an individual. He can't use this. V'atanya, having in the brayser b'doimer, kol mechitzas Shabbos, all these types of incomplete, improperly constructed mechitzas, when it comes to Shabbos, le'yitiru le'yachid, yoysim beis asayim. They did not allow an individual to make use of this type of mechitza, unless he's enclosing a small enough area. It can't be larger than 2 saw, a place where you plant 2 saw of seeds, so it's 100 amos by 50, which equals the shear of the chatzar ha-mishkan, courtyard around the mishkan, which in itself was not really a residentially enclosed area. So these non-residential mechitzas can only affect and make a contained area if the place is small enough in size, which is considered to be appropriate for personal use, thereby making these mechitzas effective and turning into a shayach. But if it's too large an area, using these improperly constructed mechitzas for a large area, that gives the impression of a non-residential enclosure. It resembles an open area, a field, a forest, which is considered a kamus midraban. But nevertheless, we see that a yachid can employ these mechitzas, provided that it's a small enough area. How is this compatible with the indication, with the words in our Mishnah, that it can only be used for shayara? Says the Gemara, even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that a yachid can use it. The question is, how large an area is enclosing? Could the Omer of Nachman, as Rav Nachman said, V'itema, some say it was Rav Yehuda Abayi. So he said it also, it's going to be coming up in the Gemara soon, in a different context. He said the following statement, it's only needed, to provide them an area for all their needs, to allow them to encircle a huge area. So that's what they said, pertaining elsewhere. We're going to apply that phrase here as well, Hachanami here as well. When Rav Yehuda limits it, he says, this only applies to a shayara. He didn't mean the concept of this mechitza can only be effective for shayara. He meant that the large size mechitza, you can't encircle a large area according to needs, with this type of flimsy mechitza, only if it's a shayara, which typically uses mechitza for them, is considered to be a proper mechitza. But a yachid, he can only use these mechitzas provided it's a small area. And I'm here as well. When we speak about the yachid not having the same privilege as the shayara, it's literally called tzarchan. It's regarding allowing them an area according to their needs. That only applies to a shayara, not a yachid. Says, well, where was that phrase said? Heicha itmar. Rav Nachman, V'itema, some say, where did they employ that phrase of Litin Kol Tzarchan? Aha, on this, it's not a winter mission. Kol Mechitza She'ena, Shal Shesiv Le'erev. Any Mechitza does not contain both elements, vertical and horizontal. Eina Mechitza. That's not considered to be a Mechitza. Divrei Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda. Is that so? Umi Amar Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda Hachi? That this mechitza isn't effective. Va'atani, we learned in a brisa. Echad yachid ve'echad shayor l'chaval. An individual or a caravan can both use a mechitza of ropes. The only difference is the size that they're enclosing. Umi Amar Yachad shayor. What is the difference between an individual and a group? Yachid noisnoi ve'esos sain. Grant an individual an area of tusa. No more than that. Shnayim, the same thing. Noislam beis osayim. Gimel nasu shayar. They become a caravan. V'noislam beis sheish. We give them a total of six. Allotting two per person. Divrei beis Yehuda. So it's very clear that he agrees you can use this type of mechitza, which is a stira tal mishnah, where he seems to be saying you cannot. Let's first finish the brayz. V'chamer ayim. They say, even this vertical or horizontal mechitza is considered to be a properly constructed mechitza. It's considered to be a residential enclosure, and therefore there's no limits. Echad yachad, echad shayar, whether a yachad or a group, noislem kol tzorchem, without them to enclose even a large area according to the needs. Hey, base is a sign pun, provided they don't leave a vacant area, which they don't need. A large area of base of sign, which is unneeded, which turns this whole enclosure into a non-residential enclosure. But otherwise, if they need the area, might be my guest. Go ahead and encircle a huge area. But in any case, getting back to the Reis of Yehuda, here in the Brice he says, anybody can use a mechitza provided it's small enough in size. Whereas in the Mishnah he says, you cannot. On that we have the Teretz. Amar of Nachman. V'itayim, some say, even he agrees, this mechitza is effective, depending on how large it is. V'nitzricha, this that he said in the Mishnah, that this mechitza is ineffective, he didn't mean in principle, he meant, he meant to say you can't grant this person a huge area according to his needs, only if it's based on sai more or less. So in summary, we have three shittas here regarding this incomplete mechitza of either shesi or erev. Ruida maintains a yachid can use an enclosure of based on sai. When it comes to shayara, we grant them as much as they need. Rabbi says whether it's a yachid or a shayara, it only has based on sai. A shayara, three people, can have two sub per person. According to Rabbanon, they consider this to be proper mechitza, whether a yachad or a shayara, we grant him as much as he or they need. Continues the Gemara regarding the conclusion, halacha l'maaseh. Darsh of Nachman, taught, Mishum Rabbeinu Shmuel, yachid, if he's only a yachad using this mechitza, noisn lebeis asayim. He's allowed to encircle two sub. Beis, if there are two people, noisn lebeis asayim. Gimel, nasa shayara, they've become a caravan. V'noislam beis sheish. They can have six, two per person. So this is in accordance with Yosef Yehuda's sheet. So they asked him, Shavak Saroma Rabbanon, you've abandoned the Rabbanon, V'avdas, and you've done Kerab Yosef Yehuda? How could you do that? Hadar Ukim, Rav Nachman, Amor Olei. Rav Nachman repositioned his announcer, who would announce his words to the public, Bedarsh, and he announced as follows, Dvarim Shamartel Ofneichem, the words that I've presented before you, Tois Hembiyadit, a mistake. Baram, rather, Kach Amru, this is what the Chacham said. Yachid, if it's only individual, Noislam Beis Asayim. He's granted Tusa. Shnayim, two people, Noislam Beis Asayim. They have a total of Tusa. So this seems to be consistent. It's very Yisrael Yehuda. Then he proceeded. Shloisha, if they're three people, Nasa Shayara, they become a caravan. But Noislam called Tzorchan, we grant them as much as they need. This seems to be following the Rabbanu Shita. Says him, Reisha, the first part, is a race of Yehuda, who limits it at Tusa. The Seifa on the second part is the Rabbanon? Says more in yes. The reason why, in the beginning, when it comes to one or two people, he said you're limited to Tusa, is because there are two Shittas that hold that way. Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda, and also the father of Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda, who is Rabbi Yehuda. In yes, Mishum Dekoya Vuha B'Shitze, because his father also agrees to his opinion. So we have two Shittas that hold that they're limited at Tusa. Therefore, when it comes to one or two people, he followed that opinion, they're limited at Tusa. When it comes to the Shayar, which is a Rabbim, in this case, there are no two Shittas that are limited to Tusa. Rather, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanon both hold that they're given as much as they need. Therefore, he concluded accordingly. So in conclusion, we have those three Shittas. Rabbi Yehuda says, a Yachid gets Tusa, a Rabbim, a Shayara gets as much as they need. Rabbi Yehuda says, a Yachid gets Beis HaSayim, a Shayara gets Tusa per person. Rabbanon say, whether a yachad or a shayara, we grant them as much as they need. Rav Nachman made a compromise. When it comes to a yachad, he says tusa. When it comes to a shayara, as much as they need. Okay, time for a brief review of today's daf. The Gemara began by giving us concepts of mechitzos. There's a gap less than three tefachim. It's considered to be fully built. If the gap is three or more, that's considered to be a space, a pirtza. So if the pirtza area equals an area greater than the oimid, that mechitza is batal. You can't even plant next to the oimid. But if the oimid portion, the standing portion, is four tefachim or greater, that's considered to be prominent and significant, and you can plant alongside that standing portion. The more I discuss the mechitza, which is comprised of one of two elements, either vertical or horizontal, Rav Hamnuna asked the question, whether when it comes to a vertical mechitza, can you apply the concept of oimid b'rubal aparetz, that it's sufficient if it's mostly built, does that work or not? The more proceeds to tell us, by these types of mechitzas which are improperly constructed, either has only vertical or horizontal elements to it, when it comes to a yachid, he's allowed an area of tusa. When it comes to a shayara, as much as any.